Okay, so this is Calvary. This is for the recording. I'm saying the beginning part here. This is Calvary Chapel of Evansville, Indiana, February 12th of 2023. This is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. February 12th was. That was when he was born in 1809, something like that. He was born on the same day as Charles Darwin. This is not my message. I just happen to remember this. He was born on the same day as Charles Darwin. Isn't that an interesting, one of those weird things, one of those things there? Okay, so my name is Paul Abramson. That's who's talking if you're watching, for those who are keeping score at home. So our topic today is Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, go down two, please. And the first commandment, as Jesus said, most of these verses that are going to be on the screen are also in here. And then if you wanted to take notes or something, go ahead. So if you want to. The first commandment, Jesus said, what is the most important commandment? This is the Mark version, Mark 12, 29 and 30. And Jesus answered him, the first of the commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, there's a fourth dimension that's added here that wasn't in Deuteronomy. And so it's like one more dimension being added. There are many things in the Old Testament that are not explained at that time. Jesus came to fulfill them, but there are still some things that we do not know. Next slide, please. The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Oh, by the way, and as in past times when I've talked, if you have a question, please raise your hand or please ask or something, okay? Because treat this more like a Sunday school class if you'd like to. What does that mean, love your neighbor as yourself? Tess.
Love your mom and dad.
What's that?
Love your parents.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's a good answer, particularly since your parents are here in this room, huh? Yeah, okay, good. Alex, do you agree? I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay, yeah, yes. Okay, say it again. I couldn't hear you. Yes. Okay. What she said for the sake of the is to love even people who are unlovable or who we consider unloving and choosing to give agape love, choosing to. And sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do. It's not just a feeling. Oh, Kathy, yes.
Like Jesus loved them.
Yeah. One thing that's very interesting, the Pharisees loved sin and hated the sinners. Jesus loved the sinners and hated the sin. Isn't that interesting? Real converse relationship there. Often people who are holier than thou, oh, I wouldn't be a sinner like that person. No, that's because they're in sin. They may not realize, they may not be able to admit it themselves. But yes, Jesus loved us, even us sinners. While we were yet sinners, God loved us and Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Loving doesn't always mean being nice. Sometimes it means reproof or correction, helping the person come to a better understanding. It's more loving to tell someone if they need something corrected, if you love them enough to help them rather than just to let something pass if it's important. So it's your friend who tells you when you got something stuck between your teeth or when your collar is turned up, right, or something like that. So often we don't see that. Okay, next slide, please. Some of this I don't have in here. Okay, so let's stay there. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so this is not in your thing here yet, but I wanted to use a few examples to connect the Old and New Testament. I'll go through this briefly. Sacrifice or to obey commandments. We tend to think as Christians, oh, the Old Testament, that was the sacrifice period. Yes, there were sacrifices made as a placeholder, but until the true sacrifice came, until Jesus came and died on the cross, yes, they were to have sacrifices at the temple. But obedience was always more important. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen the fat of lambs. God wants us to do what he says to do. Okay. Oh, excuse me. I want to, before I continue, next one here. Actually, I'll read this next verse, and I want to point out what's on the bottom of the first page here. Hosea 6:6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Okay? Now, on the bottom of your front page here of this handout I gave you, there's two things. Because we're going to fail. We're going to sin. We have to keep coming back to God. The mature Christian is not one who is independent. It is one who is dependent on the Lord. 1 John 1:9, the Christian's bar of soap. That's what one of my favorite Bible teachers, Chuck Missler, that's what he calls it, so I like that term. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes Satan will get us, but, oh, my sin was so bad. How could God still love me? How could God still want me? It's one or the other. Either we'll say, oh, the sin is so bad, or we tend to go to the other extreme. Oh, my sin's not so bad compared to so-and-so or compared to such and such a sin. No, our sin is bad, and we need to come back to God. But in Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from God. Okay? Next slide, please. And again, I'm just making this connection here. Okay, so here is Micah 6, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with tens of thousands, with ten thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. Time for the guitar again. I'm sorry. What is good and what does the Lord require of you? There's a song. I'm sorry. There's a song that has these words. What is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Now, I want to emphasize these three things because this is going to come up in the New Testament. Okay? Here, this is one of the prophets, okay? To do justly, to love mercy, justice, mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Very important. These are much more important than sacrifices. Next slide, please. Okay, we're almost done with this part here. Psalm 51. This is King David. This is King David. It's 51, 16, and 17. For you desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. You delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Okay? It is who we are on the inside. Some people want to give that sacrifice or whatever, either Old Testament or now. Let's give God a sacrifice of praise. And it's like, okay, well, what are your actions? How are you living? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you trying to do God's will in this world? Now, Matthew 23:23. Matthew 23 is the chapter where just about every verse starts with scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, do you remember in Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? This is near the end of the chapter, Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of your mint and, how do I say that, anise, okay, cumin or cumin, how do you say it? Okay, I use the spices, I just don't know how to say them. Okay, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, justice, judgment, mercy, right, and faith to walk humbly with God. These you ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. So I'm trying to make this connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? And again, if you have any questions or comments, please let me know. Okay, so let's go back now. We're on the second page in here. Next slide, please. Okay, what are the commandments of Christ? If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, Jesus actually gave many a variety of things to tell people what to do. It's not God's responsibility to prove himself to us. I know I mentioned sometimes when I lived in Berkeley, I was there for 5 years, And often the skeptics, the hardcore skeptics, the atheists, say, you can't prove there's a God to me. My attitude after I'd been there for a while was, not anymore. My Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you want to hide from God, it is your right in this life. If you want to say, you can't prove there's a God to me, okay, then don't look for him. But I'll tell you what, Jesus says to look for him. Ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Reading the Gospel of John is one of the best ways for, say, a skeptic to learn that the Bible really is true, because God will speak to him or her. God will speak to him through his word. If they start reading it, it's not an email. You don't skim it. You just start reading. Start reading the Gospel of John. It will come to life. The Word of God is alive. So if the person is seeking in the right place, if they are looking, okay, let's go to the next slide, please. And that is, this is in the same chapter, a few verses later. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the path, it is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in there, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. So we need to be looking, searching God's word, trying to act according to what we know to be true, as Jesus has told us to do. We can't expect God. There's many people who expect God to give a voice to them. No, I'm sorry. If there's some churches would say the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. It frightens me when I hear people talk that way. If for their sake, taking God's name in vain, it's like the Lord told me to order pizza for dinner tonight. The Lord told me you're supposed to be my girlfriend. I mean, it's just very convenient to blame God for what the person wants to do or what the person wants to have. So no, we need to be seeking God and be humble. Remain humble before God to have faith. Next slide, please. Repent. So ask, seek, and knock. Repent. This is something John the Baptist said. And also Jesus, and it is consistent with Scripture. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, repent means to turn around, to change your mind, to change your course. That is what repent means. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Luke 3:3, and he, John the Baptist, so there's a consistency here, came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Okay? It wasn't just baptizing someone. No, they were baptizing and they were to change their ways. And he actually gives a few examples there. Roman soldiers came and said, what should we do? Others came, what should we do? And he gave them examples of what they should do. Okay, and then Acts 20:21. This is then the apostles. So John the Baptist, who some would contend, was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the end of the Old Testament, but he's also then ushering in the time of the Messiah. Acts 20:21. So this is the apostles testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Number 5. Follow me. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then the next slide, please. This is a very interesting passage here. The rich young ruler, because he makes the wrong choice. And we look back at that and go, how could he have made that decision? How do we make our decisions? Our decisions today, that new car, that new house, that new whatever it is. And anyway, the young man said to him, this is Matthew 19, verses 20 through 23, excuse me. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, because he's kept the commandments. That's what he's saying. He's kept what the commandments were from the Old Testament. What lack I yet? Jesus said to him, now excuse me, this is not necessarily for all of us, but this was his stumbling block. Okay, that's an important part of this. What is the stumbling block in our lives, okay? Jesus said to him, if you will be perfect, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Wow, what an invitation. I know we've read that many times before, but what an invitation. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus to his disciples, truly I say to you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Sometimes wealth can get in the way of realizing what is most important. Or there's some people who focus on making money. We need money. It's a tool. We have to have it. But it's a tool. It's not the goal. Okay, next slide, please. Rejoice. So, Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. That's interesting. Be happy about that when people are saying bad things about us. What's going on here? Okay, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Okay? So there's a consistency in human behavior. In Revelation, the people of the earth are called the earth dwellers. This one term that's given for them, the earth dwellers. This is the only life they have. This is all they know about this time on earth. They can't even conceive. Unless you are born again, unless you're part of Christ, they don't have that hope that we as believers have. Next slide, please. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I was going to get another translation of this, but rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We're going to have problems. There are some churches where they teach, oh, God wants to give everything to you. God wants you happy. And I'm like, really? I've asked this question before here. Let me ask it again. Who does God love more, Bill Gates or you? Okay, Bill Gates, he's got lots of money. He can fly anywhere he wants. Pizza, I don't even need a coupon. Oh, I'll just buy it with the cash right here. Right? Who does God love more, Bill Gates or you? Okay, now let's add a verse to that. Those whom the Lord loves, he chastises, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Okay, now who does God love more? He must love me a lot. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you chastise me. Oh, I'm sorry. Have you guys been here long? When did you get here? Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Okay. I better stay here in the room here. Okay, but I mean, it's just God wants to correct us. He wants us to develop character. This time on earth is a time of learning and testing. You're going to have people say bad things about you. You're going to have evil things happen to you by maybe not just evil people. Sometimes Christians unwittingly can do bad things. Okay, James 1:24. My brothers, count it all a joy when nothing goes wrong. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. There must be a misprint here. Count it all a joy when everything goes your way. Wait a minute. Hold. I'm sorry. I got the wrong translation here. Okay, I'm going to read it the way it's written. My brothers, James 1:24, count it all a joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants us to develop, to have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, patience. These things are to be developed in us. In some ways, I know I go off on tangents. I apologize. I think of us sometimes as rocks in a rock tumbler. Do you remember those old rock tumblers they used to have? Getting the rough edges broken off. My mom used to have a saying, which, let's see, the school of hard knocks. Have you ever heard that saying, the school of hard knocks? You get hit, and it's like, oh, man. Got to get back up. We have to try to do what the Lord says to do. And that brings us to our next one, which is really hard. Let's skip the next one. Let's go three slides ahead. Okay, we'll do this one. Go one slide ahead, please. And I'm happy about it. Count it all a joy when you got to talk about forgiveness. Okay, forgive. Matthew 16:14 and 15. Now, this is right at the end of the Lord's Prayer. I don't recall that I've ever heard a sermon on this. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6, okay, 9 through 13, then 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is hard teaching. This is hard teaching. I have friends and myself and others who you get hit hard. Remember when St. Paul said he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Isn't that interesting? It's the Romans who he's under. St. Paul, hey. No, he understood that God is behind everything. In Job chapters 1 and 2, when Job loses everything, he loses everything except his health in chapter 1. Okay, he's still in fearing God and keeping his commandments. So then he's given permission to put boils on his body. He's having a bad day, right? I mean, this is not fun. And he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was his attitude. Wow, that we could have such a biblical attitude when things go wrong. Things are going to go wrong. I know I keep referring to other churches, but that's because I see so much of modern Christianity being wrong. A church I used to go to, this woman there very kindly gave me a copy of this book called Jesus Calling. And I thanked her for it. I thanked her, and I gave it back to her. Actually, I said, I'm actually not going to read this. And I wasn't trying to offend her, but it's like, this is not all about me. This is not all about me. Jesus is calling me. I'm at the center. Me. Oh, the Lord wants to comfort me. Okay, for people who are hearing this on the recording, I will take my medicine as soon as I'm done talking here, okay? So please don't. Okay, but it's not all about us. It's all about the Lord. What was the first commandment, going back to the first page? Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not love myself with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not love money with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not love, what's a popular series on TV? Game of Thrones, is that still popular? No? I don't watch TV except if I'm traveling and I'm in a hotel room or something, I'll see sometimes like, do people watch this? Are there people that watch that? I guess because I'm out of that loop, I just don't see it. I watch movies. That's actually one of my vices is watching old movies. But let's see, I was going somewhere with this. But I mean, we've got to, now I lost my train of thought here, but we coming back to the slide, we need to be forgiving. And this is very hard to do. It's easy to tell someone else that they have to forgive. But when it's me, when it's us, it is so hard. Pray for it. Remember when they say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. We should pray that way. Okay. I'll just mention this. I had a very abusive father. He was just such a monster, and I'll just mention it. There were years where I didn't want to be anything like him, nothing like him at all. And it came to me, I've got to be able to forgive him. What if I see him in heaven? Do I want to see? I mean, I don't know. And the Lord in his mercy, will he be there? It's just, anyway, we have to forgive. We have to try to forgive. As sister in the back, what's your name again? I forgot her name. Debbie, I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize, Debbie. And why was I asking you, why was I going to refer to you? As you said about love, it's not just an emotion. It is an action. It is something we decide to do. Forgiveness is not, in a similar way, forgiveness is not an emotion. It is something we decide that we have to do. Okay, now, next slide, please. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and always forgiving Paul. And if wait a minute. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, that means I got to do it too, man. Okay, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. We have to forgive, particularly within the body, we have to try to forgive others, okay? I tend to judge myself based on my intentions. This is a saying that's out there. I judge myself based on my intentions. I judge others based on their actions. And that's kind of an unfair thing, but we tend to do that, okay? So we have to try to be forgiving. Just as Christ forgave us, so also do you. in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus is telling his disciples, forgive 70 times 7. Wow, not just 7 times, 70 times 7. And then he goes into this parable about a man who's forgiven 10,000 talents, which is like $1 billion. This is in Matthew chapter 18. And then money is owed to him by this guy, and it's like $10,000. It's so much less. And he goes, grabs his neck, and has him thrown into prison. The king's servants see this, and then this man is brought back to the king and says, I forgave you this incredible amount, and you wouldn't forgive this other man this small amount. And so anyway, God has forgiven us so much that we need to try to forgive others. Okay, last verse here on this one. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Okay? Next slide, please. Become wise. So this is another thing that the Lord tells us. Behold, I send you forth. This is Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst or in the middle of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I don't know how to do the harmless as doves part, but I do try to do the wise as serpents part. I'm sorry. That's another confession. You know, if it's evening coming and you're sheep on a hillside and you see these wolves out there, it's getting dark and they're licking their chops and they're looking at you. Being wise is something we often don't put that. We need to put that at the forefront, trying to become wise. The wise part comes first. The being innocent or being harmless is second. That's an important priority there. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wow, what a statement. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all you're getting. Get understanding. Okay? We're to try to develop wisdom. In James, it tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all men. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for protection from deception. Okay, so become wise. That's another thing that we are told to do. Next slide, please. We're getting close to the end here. Dave, did you have a question or no? Next slide. Treasures in heaven. Okay, we're told to lay up treasures in heaven. That's interesting, isn't it? You don't want to get to heaven and see, I left my wallet back on earth. Yeah, Peter, I was hoping to get a cup of coffee. Don't suppose you could spot me a few shekels, could you? Something like that. We're told to lay up treasures in heaven. Okay, there's that saying, you can't take it with you. Yes, you can. You just got to convert it before you leave this earth. You got to convert your money before you get on that plane and go overseas. I've flown internationally a number of times. And if you arrive on a weekend and you don't change money at the airport, you got a problem, okay? You arrive on a Saturday and a Sunday. Gee, why are the banks closed in this country? Didn't they know I was coming today? What's going on here? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, that's on an earthly example. But okay, lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I told you I like old movies. That's one of my vices. Movies from the 30s, 40s, 50s. One of the things that happens in the old movies is they fall in love. I think that's unbiblical. I think we need to guide our hearts. You need to decide. You decide where your treasure is. Do, 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 do. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you have decided to prioritize, what you have decided is most important, where you have invested your heart, your soul, what you are doing, that then is where you are guiding your heart. This is off topic, but I wanted to put it here because it relates to this verse. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All of us are going to have damage to our hearts in this life. When Jesus was quoting from Isaiah, this is, not part of my thing. I love going on tangents. In Luke 4, where he's quoting from Isaiah 61, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The second thing, to heal the brokenhearted. That's the second thing. That's right after preaching the gospel. Okay? That's very important. Much more important than blindness. Much more important than any other physical ailment deep within us. A broken heart or damage to our hearts. Okay? So I'm just throwing that in because I love the old movies, but they kind of follow their heart. One reason that a young person, a Christian, should not date non-believers is because of the danger you might fall in love with them. They're a non-believer. No, we need to be equally yoked. You need to be your friends, who your close friends are, excuse me, who you can't always control your co-workers or anything like that. But you need to be in fellowship with other believers. So, okay, any questions? I know I'm hitting a lot of things. Debbie. Yes. 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 Okay, let me summarize that for the sake of the recording. Debbie was saying that when she was young, she had a problem with cussing, and she was trying to stop, and then it got worse. Okay, so, and then she went, was it a pastor, Mark Miller, you said? Mike Miller, does everybody know him but me? He was the founding pastor of his church. Oh, okay. So she went to him and talked to him about that, and he said, have you prayed about it? And you said, yes, but you hadn't turned it over to the Lord, is what it sounds like. So, and then you, so the Lord wants to work through us, is what you're saying. And I completely agree with that. I think we are willing vessels. Do you remember where Jesus says, you'll be brought before, you know, courts, you'll be brought before this and that, and the Holy Spirit will give you words to say. Don't worry about what you'll say. I've had that happen to me before at places I've been to. I was at and thank you so much for your comments there, because I think that that's very pertinent to what we're talking about. And I was at a science fiction convention on Long Island. Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, so then, and there was this professor there who, when he found out I was a creation, so we have three theories of our origins. Evolution, which is temporarily the dominant one. Aliens, which I believe is going to be the prominent one. Satan wants to be worshipped, so the UFOs. Take me to your leader. Okay, I don't want that guy. Do you have somebody who's really a leader? Okay, never mind. Anyway, but excuse me. Off topic there. But anyway, UFOs, okay, this is the second one. Third one is creation. And so I went to a couple of big science fiction conventions. One was an international one. One was the one in New York, another one was an international convention that they had, and had a table on creationism and giving out information. I had some people come up to me and they were so angry that I was there, so mad. And so they would challenge me. And I would try and answer, and I had lots of information. No, science supports creation just fine. People can believe evolution if they want, but I'm sorry, I'm not aware of any scientific evidence that supports it. And, of course, that kind of makes them more angry. But actually, that happened to me. I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic. I went to over a dozen of the Promise Keepers meetings. This was 15, 20 years ago, 18 years ago, whenever it was. And usually I would get, on any one weekend, a Christian man who would come up and say, so you're teaching that God used evolution, they're looking at my banner, and that God used evolution to create us and things like that. Oh, no, I teach 6 days, 6,000 years ago. Well, that sounds good and everything, but I teach geology or biology or whatever. I say, oh, really? Well, do you know of any scientific evidence that doesn't support the Bible? We'd have a mini debate. Guys would come around. And I wasn't trying to be mean to the guy, but there's no science that supports the millions of years. There's no science that supports evolution. The fossil record shows that humans have always been humans. 99% of the hominid fossils that have been cataloged of thousands, humans have always been humans. Now, there are a few defects. There are some people who have skeletal deformities or Siamese, I think there's a different name for it now. Conjoined, that's the word. Conjoined twins or something like that. Yes, there are some deformities out there. 99% show that humans have always been humans. There's no progression in the fossil record. They're making that up. Evolution is not science. It is a mental hiding place from God. Anyway, when I would do that, then all these men are standing there, and it's like, this guy, I teach biology, or I teach whatever it is. And they're hearing just, no, the Bible really is true. Science supports the Bible just fine. And pretty soon all of them are taking the articles. Great. That's why I'm there, is to give stuff away. Okay. So so the Holy Spirit will bring words to your mouth, or you'll be, when you're in a situation. And in Stony Brook, New York, when they had that big science fiction event, I remember this man was so angry at me. And I gave answers that I wouldn't have thought of. I really believe I wouldn't have thought of. Another time, just okay, last tangent here. I was at MIT. I know this particular programmer. He is actually famous. I got to know him when I was in Japan anyway, but I'm visiting him, and we're going out for lunch one day. I don't think I've ever told you this story. We're going out for lunch that day, and he had a button on that said, Impeach God. Okay? Now, I don't know. I never asked him, did he wear that button because he was having lunch with me or not? But as I'm coming up, I find him in that building at MIT, and I find him. He's got the button, and it says Impeach God. And without thinking, I said, Impeach God? I didn't realize it was an elected position. And isn't that a great answer? It wasn't my idea. Isn't that a great answer? And it wasn't my idea. It was just, I believe the Holy Spirit giving me the right words. And he like looks at the button, and he's like, oh, what that means. And okay. So anyway, so the Lord, as we are following him and trying to do his will, and we're going to fail. That's why on the front I put, we have to keep coming to God and asking forgiveness, asking for help. And as we are believers, even if we've done something wrong, we still, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, we're almost done here. Next slide, please. Treasures in heaven. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. Okay. So sometimes, you know, I mentioned the rich young ruler. Well, Moses made a different decision than the rich young ruler who Jesus talked about. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he became an adult, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. That's very interesting, isn't it? Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We as believers are looking long-term rather than short-term in what's happening in this life. So I find this a very, very interesting one. He could have very easily lived in the court, Pharaoh's court, had a very easy life, had everything that world had to offer. Instead, he chose to suffer. And then he goes after, what is his reward? He beats up and kills that Egyptian man who had been beating a Hebrew. What's his reward for that? 40 years in the wilderness. God, did you forget about me? What's going on here? How much time do you have for meditation when you're out there watching sheep? I'll tell you what, a lot of time. Sheep aren't that exciting. They don't dance around like they do in the TV commercials. Okay. But speaking of sheep, this leads to our last one, number 10. Okay, next slide, please. Feed my sheep. You're right. That's exactly right. Okay, so two legs good. No. Okay, never mind. Four legs good, two legs bad. Okay, never mind. Okay, John 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had dined, so this Jesus is now resurrected. It's interesting that food is involved many times when Jesus, after his resurrection, they're eating. Do you have any food? Yeah, there's something to eat. It's very interesting the food's involved in it. Anyway, John 21, 15, 17. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, love you more than these. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now remember that Peter denied Christ three times, the night of the crucifixion, which was only not that long before this, days before this. He said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Then Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me? And Peter, he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now Jesus says it a third time. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. 3 years they had intensive daily Bible studies, learning from our Lord directly. Now they had a responsibility to pass that on. They needed to teach others, to bring others. And Peter, of course, was the spokesman on the day of Pentecost, which is another Jewish holiday, only weeks later. Okay, next slide, please. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have a responsibility, older people. It's not just as a father, but I sometimes tell things to younger people. It's like I've experienced this, I've seen this, and so I try to be giving in that way, that we need to then pass on wisdom, pass on other viewpoints, things that people can see. But specifically for fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, next slide, please. This slide. Then this is for women. Titus 2:3. The aged women, likewise, the mature women, the women who are becoming more beautiful as they get older, women likewise. Who's laughing back there? I want to know what's going on here. Okay. That they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We have responsibilities, particularly as we get older, for how we treat others and then what we've learned to pass it on. Next slide, please. Deuteronomy 11. So again, I'm bridging back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 20. Therefore, shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign on your hand. I guess it's right hand, I'm sorry, that you may be as frontlet, that they may be as frontless between your eyes, and that you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Boy, that's a lot of times, isn't it? And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When I was in Israel, which was 15 years ago about, I saw them literally doing this. Now, I mentioned earlier when we were talking about communion that we as Protestants don't have much liturgy, but many, both Jews, Catholics, and Orthodox, liturgy and doing these things, maybe not this one specifically, but it becomes part of the remembrance. I saw Jews when I was in Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, American Jews, and they bind. They actually have this thing they put on their forehead. They have these things they put on their arm, on their doorposts, at a home, a Jewish home, they'll actually have a little tiny plaque that they'll put right on this on the side there. You don't really see it unless you're looking for it, but it they are told to do this, so they do it. Well, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Isn't that interesting? So people taking it very literally. You don't want the liturgy or you don't want the symbolism to overtake the meaning. It is the meaning we need to remember, not just the symbolism and then, oh, okay, the rest is fine. Okay, next slide, which is our last one here, Feed My Sheep. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. This is the end of the Gospel of Matthew. I know this is a familiar phrase here, familiar sentences. And Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. And see, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Okay? So we need to be looking for opportunities to give, looking for opportunities to teach, looking for opportunities to bless each other. Okay, any questions? Debbie. Okay, Dave, go ahead and close my thing here. If you can go to Philippians 3, 14 through 16 or 17. Okay. So Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Okay, straining towards the goal. So not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And then verse 14, I press towards the goal of for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we haven't attained yet. I'm sorry, did you have things you wanted to say? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, coulda, shoulda, woulda. So Debbie is saying in back here that don't get caught with a coulda, shoulda, woulda. We can always look back and see where we failed or where we screwed up. But we, from where we are now, we have to come back to God, ask for forgiveness, ask for help, ask for wisdom, and then to try to do what we can do. So any other questions or comments anyone has here? We have some guests, so we have to try to be friendly today. My friends, the Mode family, I set up a row just for them. The Mode clan, they're one of the 10 lost tribes. Israel, they found their way here. Hey, I got the microphone. I get to talk. I get to. Okay, and they have to forgive me. What can they do? They have to forgive me. Okay, so please. That reminds me of a joke. I don't know if I've told this joke to you before. Okay, so Jesus has died on the cross, and Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea go to Pilate. That's no easy task. That's like going to the governor. That this is someone, not just anybody can get in. You say, Holcomb, yeah, I need to talk to you. Who are you? No, these were men who were known, okay? They're able to go to Pilate and say to him, we'd like to receive the body of Christ, and Joseph of Arimathea says he wants to lay this man in his tomb, in the tomb he just had built, very expensive, just had built for his family. And Pilate says to Joseph of Arimathea, wait a minute, you're this criminal, this man who died between two thieves, who's now dead, his ministry's over, it's all ended, and you want to put him in your family tomb? And Joseph of Arimathea says, oy vey, it's just for the weekend. Okay, I'm sorry, it reminded me of that joke. Yes, the first Airbnb. D&D, dead end. Okay, never mind. Let's see. Okay, any other questions, comments? Thank you, folks, for coming. God bless you. Hope you have a great Super Bowl. Oh, I didn't even talk about the Super Bowl. Oh, what was I even thinking about? So there's a football game on today, for those of you who weren't aware of it. And there's supposed to be some good commercials. I don't know. Next week, Bob. Oh, Bob, what are you doing next week? What book are we starting? We're going to be Roman. Okay, I like that. Sounds good. So starting the book of Romans next week. So, okay, God bless you.